Stay warm at the Horseshoe this season. Score an exclusive, officially licensed Ohio State scarf when you subscribe to the Columbus Dispatch. Get the planet's best Buckeye coverage, award-winning reporting, and one amazingly cozy scarf by subscribing at dispatch.com/scarf. This promotion is licensed by the Ohio State University. Trademarks used with permission.
Thanks for coming, the champions for the Illinois game on defense. Nick Bosa, Jalen Holmes, Cooper. Cooper had two sacks. Linebacker Jerome Baker, good to have him back. Denzel Ward and Kendall Sheffield played well. Damon Webb and Eric Smith, who got his first start of the year, and that was he played very well. Player of the game was Chris Worley. That's defense. On offense, he had JT Barrett. He had five wide receivers. He had KJ, Johnny Dixon, Paris, and Austin Mack and Terry. Obviously, didn't throw it a bunch, but they blocked very well. Running backs are playing outstanding. JK, Mike Weber, and Antonio Williams had 74 yards on 19 carries. Offensive line, Billy Price, Isaiah, and Demetrius Knox. Tight ends, Marcus Ball. And two offensive linemen were players of the game, Michael Jordan and Jamarco Jones. In kicking, the guys that excelled were, player of the game was Jeff Okuda. He's playing fantastic. He had 27 plays of kicking game, 27 plays. And 41 protection points was the most we've had in quite a while. But you had Elijah Goins forced a fumble, Jeff Okuda, fumble recovery. Justin Hilliard was awesome, 16-yard line tackle. Pete Werner was awesome, 9-yard line tackle. And Okuda had another one on the 13-yard line. So some real positives in the kicking game. And I'd be glad to answer any questions for you.
Front row middle, Dave.
Urban, the up-tempo offense seems to have worked very well for you guys all season. I imagine it's like a baseball pitcher where you want to mix up your pitches. You don't want to use it all the time. But generally speaking, do you feel like the up-tempo offense works best for you guys?
Yeah, I think so. I think our quarterback likes it. I think that's kind of the world that Kevin and Ryan Day are in. And so, you know, the play callers have got to be able to spit those plays out fast and know what they're doing. So it's been very good.
Jordan Fuller, real quick, I know he didn't play last week. Is he okay? Will he play against?
He's probable, and he should play. He had a little leg injury that just wasn't quite ready for game time.
Second row right, Tony.
Urban, this is, we always talk about maybe the wrinkles that show up for the Michigan game, either from that team or your team. Is that a real thing? Are there wrinkles that you say for this game, and have you seen things that you don't see, you know, over the last 5 years in this game? Have you seen things in this game you don't see throughout the season from them?
I'm not sure. I don't know what you said. I have always said about the wrinkles in this game.
We talk about wrinkles. Do you save stuff for this game?
You can't now. This conference, we're in the east side of arguably the toughest conference in America. So I don't just go play the game, try to go win. I don't think, you know, I heard days in the past where you save the little eight and a big two. Those days are done. So.
Front row left, Mitch.
Urban, why do you think it is that JT Barrett is not as loved and respected by the fans as he is by you and his teammates?
We got a big game this week.
Yeah. Front row right there, Bill.
Michigan has at times come into this game with a struggling offense. They seem to, especially I think it was 13, play very well. Do you expect them, even though they've struggled on offense, and obviously have a quarterback question, do you expect their offense to play their best game of the year?
Absolutely.
Just because of the game?
It's the history of this game. Both teams play their best.
And for you, this is your sixth game. Can you just describe just how different this game, this week is for you?
I think everybody knows that. It's a big week.
Third row left, Dan.
Rashawn Gary and Maurice Hurst, their defensive linemen, are a couple guys who get a lot of attention. I know you're probably starting your film study for a week, but just from watching them over the course of a season, are they guys who stand out?
We're not just starting our film study for the week. It's been going on for a long time. Yeah, they're very good players. Both very highly drafted bowl NFL players, too.
Donovan Peoples-Jones on the other side, freshman. I believe he had four catches this past week. Is he a guy you see starting to come along for them?
Yeah, we recruited him in a lot of respect. Really, really talented guy, great size, great speed, and he's really starting to play well.
Front row left, Bill.
Urban, you mentioned after the game that your offensive line is maybe the most improved or one of the most improved units on the team. What's different? I know last year you guys were young there. What's the growth you've seen in that group now through this season?
Maturity. I think Jamarco Jones and Billy Price have really helped stabilize that. And Isaiah is a year older, you know, and there's mistakes made in recruiting. Guys are forced into playing time before their time. Michael Jordan should have played as a true freshman. That wasn't, you don't recruit a guy to come in and start as a true freshman. It's because some other guys were not performing well enough and he got forced into it. So that happens at other positions, and sometimes you deal with early entry in the NFL draft. Other times you deal with guys that are not developed and aren't what we thought they would be by this time. So that's what happens.
And then Mike Jordan was player of the game. You've remarked a little bit about how Demetrius Knox is playing well. For this offense in particular, when the guards are rolling, like, how important is that? What does that do for your offense?
Well, our base play is a good question. Base plays a zone scheme, and we want the big wide ass, probably shouldn't say that big, to move defensive linemen. You need to have the big guards in this offense, and zone schemes, that's a prerequisite to be powerful coming off the ball, and those two are good at it.
Front row left, Doug.
I'm sorry to keep asking about sort of like the JT stuff, but we know who JT is, right? What he's done in his career here. When you got here, all the things that you do as a coach when you come to a new program, to identify and go get the quarterback that you think is sort of going to, we got to go recruit our first quarterback that we think is going to be the guy here. All the things you got to do, that's an obvious question, but how important is that when you went out and found JT? To be that guy.
I'd like to take credit, but I got to give credit to Tom Herman on that. It was bizarre. You had Mitch Trubisky, you had Malik Zaire in state here that we were very, very interested in. And I was just here a couple weeks, and then we start going, and hey, let's get him down here and meet him. Let's get him to campus. And then all of a sudden, well, I'm not going to go to camp. I'm just going to commit somewhere else then. And I was just shocked by the whole scenario. I mean, they're obviously both, those two are very good players. And then I'm thinking, holy cow, this is going fast. And so Tom Herman found JT and came to me and said this, you know, there was a lot of trust in Tom when I didn't know Tom very well, and obviously did a very good job finding him.
And does it, JT, when we talked to him after the game the other day about the Michigan game, he's a Texas kid, but obviously by now, I mean, he gets this game so much. Does everybody get it? Like, once they get here, and I know we've asked about it a lot over the years, but once you get them for a couple weeks and once they get through it the first time they play it, does everybody get it?
This rivalry is not a one-week deal. It's doesn't, hey, let's get this thing going. This is something that, and I learned that from Woody Hayes, from Earl Bruce, from Jim Tressel, and I just think it's in your blood. It's in your DNA, and to say everyone understands that right now, I don't think so. You know, say Wyatt Davis or another out-of-state young player, Elijah Gardner, probably not yet, but they will. I would say the ones that are playing have a pretty good indication.
From a wreck, Tim.
Urban, what does it do for a team, for an offense, to have the running game going the way you guys have it going right now? The offensive line coming to maturity and stuff. What does it just do for the group?
You know, that's the foundation of any good offense, is the offensive line. And we were blessed for 3 or 4 years having the best in the Big Ten, and then we didn't. And it was hard. It's hard to create plays where that group is not your strength of your team. Right now, they are one of the strengths of our team. And it's, you know, this one will be, you know, maybe because this D-line is a real deal. But knowing that you have a very stable and very strong group up front, that's going to be here long before us and long after us. That's the foundation of a great offense.
But obviously coming out of the Iowa game, you guys decided to lean on that group against Michigan State and then last week, right? I mean, do you remember y'all having conversations about it, or is that just the way it evolved? I'm talking about
kind of the way it evolved, we have two very good tailbacks, get the ball in our hands a little bit, and done a good job.
Yeah, and last thing, following up a little bit on what Doug asked you, but I think four of your captains, maybe five, are from out of state, yet they get this game. How much is it indoctrinated through the year? Can you explain to people how much y'all emphasize it?
Well, just throughout the facility, and just I would say darn near every day of this, you're here, you get reminded of the game. From Coach Mick in the offseason to myself during spring ball and training camp, we have periods devoted to this game during practice. And, I mean, you'd have to be something wrong with you not to figure this one out.
Get in one last question. I don't know if you heard the news. Terry Glenn, former
high school. Heard that minutes ago.
Yeah. Did you know of him
much? Oh, sure.
Yeah.
I knew him. I can't say I knew him well. And I don't know nothing other than someone said something. So I don't want to be disrespectful. I just don't know everything that happened. And my God. So I just don't know much about what happened.
Trevor Wright, awesome. Urban, you talked about how important this game is to you, how big it is to the players, the program. What is it, once the switch flips and the Michigan week, rivalry week starts, what are you like to be around? How would you describe yourself and your focus for these 7 days?
I'm just extremely focused, and I can't imagine many more having more respect for this rivalry. And I say myself, our staff is myself too. And you talk about laser focus now. I mean, that's everything you got going. Not that it does in other games, but laser focus.
You've coached at other places, and you've had a very good record against other rivals. What makes this one to you different than some of the others you've been a part of?
I just don't want headlines in other papers. You know, this is just very personal. This is one I didn't have to get educated. You know, when I first went to Bowling Green, people had to educate me on that rivalry, and we absorbed it and dove into it. And they were the team up north, and then went out to BYU, and I always heard of the rivalry, but I had to be educated on that. And that was a team down south, and then went down to Florida, and you had three of them, but we made the school out west the rival, and that was Florida State. And then there was no education necessary on this one.
Far left, Lori.
Coach, I know you say that this rivalry is in your blood and has always been, but is there something you didn't understand or maybe appreciate about it until you were in it?
I think that's always the case. As a fan, you sit back and you think it's one of the coolest things in the world, and you never miss it. I remember I was coaching at Colorado State, and we were playing Hawaii, and Mike Turgovac was our defensive line coach. He was a great player at the school up north, and we had to get up at some ridiculous hour to watch the game, 5 a.m. or something, to watch it. So, I mean, it's always been, as long as I can remember, it's always been there.
I know you talked in the past about how this rivalry actually comes up on the recruiting trail. Are you always the one bringing it up, or are there people who ask you about, you know, the chance to be a part of this week?
Well, I think especially when you come here on visits and you start seeing, I mean, once again, something's not right if you're walking through the hallways and you don't recognize this rivalry and the respect we have for it. So it comes up quite often.
Left, got time for just a couple more. Second row left, all right.
Urban, talked about a lot of your players being from out of state and having to educate themselves on it. But a lot of the players who are in state who have grown up on this rivalry, kids on your team now weren't even alive the last time Michigan was ruining seasons for Ohio State at the end of the year in the 90s, and how it was pretty balanced there on Michigan's side. And then before that, I was wondering, do the kids that are from Ohio and have an inherent understanding of this rivalry also need education in this day and age about what that was back? Because I think older people that are maybe in their 20s, 30s, and 40s might have a different understanding of what it was like when Michigan was doing to Ohio State, what Ohio State
was. No, I think it's all the quick memories. You know, they were here last year now, and that was a great football team we played. And we anticipate, you know, they're watching film of their defense. So I don't know how much that really goes into it. I think when you get older and when you're 17, 18, 19 years old, it's about what's important now. And the videotape verifies what is about to happen here. So I think the rivalry is very important. However, film study and preparation is more important.
One other thing. A few of Michigan's best players were guys that you recruited pretty closely, and at one point maybe you thought you had a really good chance at landing. Can you put it in perspective at times if there's extra pressure or extra, you know, just extra pressure for you guys to sign kids or to get kids that maybe Michigan is heavily recruiting?
Ridiculous pressure.
Because this is the time where it kind of shows up, and can you give me some insight a little bit about what it's like?
No, I can't, but it's ridiculous pressure with those kids.
All right, thanks.
Final question over here to the right, Blake.
Has your approach to the game changed since 2012 or since it's worked?
Well, it's every team's different. You know, We had five starters in our offensive line were from the state of Ohio in 2012, 13, and I believe 14. That's not the case right now, so I just watch that very closely. I wish they were. You know, I'm not saying that, you know, I wish you didn't have to worry about those things, but I do. I want to make sure that when you do recruit a young man out of Texas, Baron Browning and Jeff Okuda are going to be in very important guys, Kendra Sheffield, in this game, that they understand the magnitude. But that's not so much my job as the leaders of our team.
Their quarterback thing has been unsettled. Is it because they seem to do the same things? Is that helpful regardless of who they play?
Yeah, they're going to be a downhill rushing team. That's pretty much been their MO. You'd have to talk to Greg. Today is what, Monday? We still haven't heard what's going on, and I'm sure they're following it very closely.
Coach, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Urban, can we ask you one more thing about Earl real quick? And I apologize. Just about Earl. I thought someone else was going to get it, and it's been 30 years since that. We know how important Earl is to you overall, and I just wanted to make sure we talked a little bit about Earl this week. What he means for this game, this week, and maybe your understanding of this game and this week and what he's meant to you.
Yeah, he was very important in my understanding of the game. I was a fan until 1986 when I walked through the doors, and it was every day. And I learned that from him. I mean, every day there was conversation about that team. And it was back when Bo Schembech was coaching for them, and Coach had, I think he was 5-4, only winning record against Coach Schembechler. And I mean, he taught me the intensity and the incredible respect. There's no one who respected the rivalry more than he did either. I learned that from him.
But you also learned the emotion that a team can summon. In 87, when you guys go up there, he's been fired 5 days before. What do you remember just about that team, that game, that still resonates?
Right in my office where I am now, when Rick Bay called us in at about 2 o'clock, maybe 1:30, and said this will be Coach's last game, and Coach had his face down on his arm, and I was like, oh, my God, is this really happening? And then we went out and had a practice. It was a circus, and planes flying overhead and people showing up. Then the band went out to his house that night. And they were a very good team, obviously, and we were struggling. And went up there, and Carlos Snow had a big play, about a 70 or 80 yarder. Everett Ross caught a pick touchdown. We ran a little pick route on him and found a way to win that game. And it was very emotional to see him win that game. And if I remember right, Bo Schembechler went over and congratulated him as well. Thanks.